Let's get it, fellas. Let's have some fun. In a season filled with ups and downs, the Lakers got above 500 last night with a 117-102 victory over the Celtics. Russell Westbrook dropped 24. LeBron added 30. Anthony Davis rebounded with a great second half after going 3-of-5 in the first for just 7 points. Frank Vogel has been receiving a lot of criticism for the Lakers' slow start, which didn't sit well with Sir Charles on TNT prior to last night's game.
For the first month of the season, y'all blame everything on Russell Westbrook for the Lakers being putting all them old-ass geezers together, and y'all blame Westbrook. Now I hear y'all going to fire Frank Vogel. Listen, Russ is learning. Frank Vogel is a terrific coach. Putting all them old-ass geezers together and just trying to blame other people, it ain't right and it ain't cool. Listen, Anthony Davis, you got to play better. I said on this first night, if the Lakers were going to be any good, it was all going to be on you. Has nothing to do with Russell, had nothing to do with LeBron, and the rest of them old-ass geezers they put together out there. But now y'all done crossed the line because I really like Frank Vogel. And listen, it ain't his fault. But listen, it's in my opinion, I blame Anthony Davis.
Well, Mr. Smith, it ain't right and it ain't cool. I love me some Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
Who deserves the most blame for the Lakers' slow start?
Well, first of all, injuries to LeBron James, that's an obvious thing. You can point to Anthony Davis, but I'm going to look at Frank Vogel. And let me say this to my man, Charles Barkley. You know, he does a phenomenal job. He is a friend. I love him very, very dearly, and he knows that. There are times we respectfully disagree. This is one of those times. You can talk about them old-ass geezers, to quote you directly, Charles Barkley, all you want to. What I'm looking at is the 29th-ranked defense in the National Basketball Association, and there's only 30 teams. You are giving up 113 points a game. I do agree with you that Frank Vogel, for the most part, is a terrific coach. He is a champion. Under no circumstances am I advocating, Swagoo, Molly, that Frank Vogel be fired. Nothing like that. What I'm saying is the Laker brand is a different brand. Period. You can swat, you can try to wiggle your way around it all you want to. Stan Van Gundy, during the telecast last night, said it best. Nobody is saying that it's fair for the heat to be brought down on Frank Vogel, particularly this early when you consider the squad that was assembled and how much time it's going to take for them to play, to learn to play together, LeBron James being injured and all of that stuff. We all get the fact that there are mitigating circumstances surrounding the situation. But it doesn't take away from the fact that the Laker brand is the Laker brand. There are expectations that come with being a member of the Lakers organization. And when you have LeBron James and Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis on the same squad, no one expects you to be the 29th-ranked defense in the NBA. And more importantly, nobody expects you to be battling to be a 500 team. And if that continues, you ain't going to just get rid of Russell Westbrook. You damn sure ain't getting rid of AD or LeBron James. So what are you going to do? You're going to hold someone accountable, and that someone is going to be the coach. Rob Pelinka ain't give up being an agent to fire himself. Jeannie Buss didn't take a brother to court and get controlling interest of the team and what have you completely and to get him out of there because she always had basically controlling interest to some degree, but she was just honoring her father's wishes. But she's always been one of the board of governors. She didn't do all of this to fight with her brother in order to sit back and accept and embrace mediocrity when the Clippers are beating you without Kawhi Leonard, when you've got the Utah Jazz, one of the best teams, when the Phoenix Suns are the reigning defending Western Conference champions looking to elevate themselves, not getting any worse, and the Warriors are already one of the top two teams in the NBA, and Klay Thompson hasn't even come back yet. So Charles Barkley, you can say what you want. I get where you're coming from. You are right when you talk about it ain't fair to Frank Vogel. That much is true. But it is nothing wrong with people pointing out the obvious. This is the Laker brand. And there's a certain level of expectations that come with being a Los Angeles Laker. They ain't living up to it. And I said it before and I'm going to say it again, Swagoo. If Frank Vogel and the Los Angeles Lakers don't get this together by the end of the month, I don't expect him to be the coach. or the Los Angeles Lakers within the next 6 to 7 weeks. I think he's going to be gone. I ain't wishing for it. I'm not calling for it. I happen to respect Frank Vogel profoundly. He's a champion and did a hell of a job a couple of years ago. But since that time, the Lakers have been a shell of themselves. And Laker Nation and Jeannie Buss, they ain't gonna stand for this because that's not who they are. That's not inside information. That's not sources telling me anything. I'm saying watching the Lakers and covering the NBA the way that I have for the last quarter century plus, the Lakers don't do business like that.
All right.
And Frank Vogel better recognize
that. Let's get to Marcus, period. And then I have some questions for you, Stephen A.
Well, the point is, S.A., you got a classic case, because I agree with Chuck about bringing the heat on Frank Vogel from a basketball standpoint. But to your point, this is a classic case of low man on the damn totem pole. Yeah. That's all this boiled down to. If it's going bad and something needs to change, to your point, it ain't going to be the three superstars that they brought in. There will be no moves made to this roster. Now, when we start talking about responsibility, that's where I go to the guys that are actually on the floor. I saw Chuck and Shaq talking about it last night with AD. We were all under the impression that AD would be the number one option for the Los Angeles Lakers. When we look at basketball contextually on the floor, it is not working out. And thank God that LeBron James decided to take care of his body way better than most of players we've ever seen in their career. And he can go out and have nights like this. But I'm with them on this particular situation. AD is going to have to play better. We could focus on Vogel, and I 100% understand what you're saying. Low man on the totem pole, just like I said. But let's not get so diluted in this Frank Vogel talk that we lose the optics of what we're actually seeing. Man, Anthony Davis had 7 points at halftime.
Ridiculous.
7 points.
On five shots.
And then ended with, 15 or 17 points? And LeBron and Russ had to end up with 30 and 24 in order for the Lakers to win the game. So I don't want to shift all of the conversation to Frank Vogel when we talk. I'm on record for saying I think Anthony Davis is a top five player in the NBA. And if the Lakers are going to win a championship, just like we saw him do in the bubble, he's going to have to be the catalyst. So I agree with you, S.A. I understand what you're saying, and I also understand what Chuck is saying. Chuck is saying, I'm going to hold the damn players accountable, and everybody else can talk about Frank Vogel and his position and what the front office will do with the Los Angeles Lakers.
All right.
But the bottom line is, AD has to be a top five player.
I got
if the Lakers are going to have a chance to win a championship.
Stephen A., let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. If Vogel is out, who would be the right fit in that position dealing with all those veterans?
Listen,
names come to mind?
Listen, I have no idea right now. Jason Kidd obviously would have been a guy. He was on their staff. But listen, here's the thing about it. Let me break this down. First of all, a couple of things. I'm going to answer your question directly, Molly, in just a second. For Anthony Davis, I want everybody to understand we're all complaining about Anthony Davis because we expected better.
Mm-hmm.
But the brother's averaging 24 and 10 on better than 50% shooting for 52% shooting from the field.
Yeah.
I just want to make
that's
sure.
It's not peanuts.
It's not like the brother wet the bed now.
Mm-hmm.
He should be doing more. Mm-hmm. He should be doing more, Swaggoo, no doubt. But he's averaging 24 and 10 on 52% shooting. You can work with that. That's all I'm saying. Let me get to a bigger point. And let me remind y'all of history. Frank Vogel was not the Lakers' first choice. He wasn't the Lakers' second choice. He wanted the Lakers' third choice. They wanted Jason Kidd, but stupidly, people holding stuff against Jason Kidd from over a decade ago or so, so they didn't feel comfortable making him their head coach, but they wanted him as an assistant, mm-hmm. all right? They wanted Ty Lue, but they wanted to pick his staff. Ty Lue might be the best basketball coach in the game right now. Ty Lue might be the best in the business right now. That's how good he is as a coach. They wanted Ty Lue, but you want to pick his staff for him. And this is a brother that took the Cleveland Cavaliers to 3 consecutive NBA Finals and won a championship. And while LeBron James overcame that 3-1 deficit, he was the head coach that did that. Okay? And you're going to come to him and you want him. You want to pick his staff. He said, hell no. They wanted Monty Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Monty Williams in Phoenix. But Monty Williams went to Phoenix because he saw what they were doing in terms of wanting to dictate his staff. And he said Phoenix is a better situation. Frank Vogel was working here. He's on Get Up most mornings with Greeny. You understand? When nobody thinking about Frank Vogel, particularly after he lost the Orlando job. Now, Frank Vogel deserved better, and we were all happy that he got the job because he's a good man and he's a good coach, okay? But the bottom line is that he took less money than the others were going to get.
Yep.
And he didn't mind them dictating his staff to some degree because he ended up being relevant again, winning the championship and having it. But when he won that championship, what did he get? A one-year extension.
One-year deal, yeah.
When Budenholzer won the title, as Dave McMenamin astutely pointed out on SportsCenter the other day, when Budenholzer won the championship in Milwaukee last year, what did they give him? A three-year extension. So, again, Charles Barkley or anybody else, my point is, nobody's making this up. Frank Vogel is in that seat because the Los Angeles Lakers clearly have some trepidation.
All right, let's do this. There's more meat on the bone. Let's revisit this later, but I need to move to America's team. What a battle we have in the NFC East on Sunday. Stephen A.'s favorite team, Marcus's former team, the Dallas Cowboys, losing two of their last three games, hold a two-game lead over the Washington football team as they travel to FedEx Field. But why is the offense that was once flying so high no longer? Jerry Jones may know the reason, as he told 105.3 The Fan.
The thing that you're seeing is sometimes the pass that looks errant is because the receiver, for instance, ran the route, cut it off 2 yards short, two more yards before he makes his cut. It can make all the difference in the world as far as his ability to separate. And so if you're not really crisp on the way the play was designed relative to how many yards you go, the cut, passing game can look really off. That's one of the answers. Better routes.
Okay. Marcus, I know the wideouts had been out for a bit. I was going to start with Stephen A. What do y'all want to do here?
I want to hear what Marcus has to say.
Okay. Marcus, I'll put it to you this way. Is Jerry's criticism of the wide receivers fair or foul? Former Cowboy.
I come on this show and I want to have healthy debate and I want to talk about things that I can actually win. I have no way out of this damn conversation. Because the problem is this, man. Okay? Jerry, please don't reiterate what coaches are telling you. That's the bottom. Why do you have to do this? And I wish somebody in that Cowboy facility would have respect that I got to sit across from this dude every damn Wednesday, and they keep giving him ammunition to talk about the damn Dallas Cowboy. Here's the bottom line, man. Okay, that may be the case, and that's the case on a lot of football teams. That's something week in and week out that quarterbacks and wide receivers deal with. They go through their progression. We see Tom Brady look at his receivers crazy when something is off. We see Aaron Rodgers shake his head and roll his eyes when things don't work out well. But when you're the Dallas Cowboys, okay, and Jerry, I know this for a fact. I've spent 8 years in that organization. I know that Jerry meets with the coaches after games. He's in the room listening to adjustments, listening to what they want to do, talking about personnel decisions. And this is something that I'm sure came up in one of those meetings. Or the wide receiver coach or the quarterback coach, offensive coordinator Kellen Moore, said this. This came from somewhere. But the bottom line is this, man. Why does it have to be public? Why can't you just keep this in-house and fix the issue in practice and under the cover of the team? These guys just coming back. Amari Cooper been out with COVID. We talk about CeeDee Lamb coming off of a concussion. And then Jerry on radio after a win against the Saints, who, by the way, have a pretty good defense. Offense, let's not talk about it. It's bad. But the defense is solid. And you come away with a win, and then we start talking about the inerrant throws because receivers aren't running their route right. That ain't a setup for what we trying to do in Dallas. I'm a leader, Mike, alone. I can't argue with you, Stephen A., because every week I got to come in here and fight. All my life I had to fight for the damn Dallas Cowboys on First Take. And then Jerry and everybody that talk keep giving you ammunition. Go ahead, man. Go ahead. I'm going to take my whooping on this one because I didn't do it. America, I didn't do it. Stephen A., do your thing.
P.T. Barnum at it again. How many times do I have to tell y'all that?
That's a circus for the young kids, in case they don't know.
For the little kitty kids out there. For little kitty kids. You know what I'm saying? You know, I don't know how many times, like, the Dallas Cowboys have the number two ranked offense in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. The Dallas Cowboys have the number one offense in yards accumulated in the National Football League. The Dallas Cowboys have the fourth ranked passing attack in the National Football League. And this brother is on public airwaves talking about route running or the receiver. And that's what's that for. I mean, this is a beautiful thing. How many times do I have to tell Cowboy haters out there, just wait, be patient. Relax. Don't panic. They won't let you down. This is what I'm trying to tell y'all. Y'all be going like this. Oh, man, what kind of football analysis is that? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that ain't telling us something we don't know. Yeah, it is. Because you won't accept it. See, Stevie A, you know, I'm here for y'all. I'm here to bless the American public
with the
knowledge it needs to understand. Stevie A is here for y'all. I keep trying to tell y'all. They gonna mess it up. Now, let's backtrack for a second here. Let's just go down the list of things. Because, see, this only happened to the Dallas Cowboys, okay? So we got this juggernaut of an offense. This team that's improved. I mean, we got Dan Quinn. I mean, this dude is the savior. The savior. Even though he just got fired from Atlanta. But that's neither here nor there. He's the savior. So he's there as a defensive coordinator. He's there as a leader. I like Dan. He's there as a defensive coordinator. He comes. He upgrades the defense. But what happens? Everybody want to act like, well, what are you upgrading from? You came from the basement because Mike McCarthy hired Mike Nolan when you had no business doing that. But that's neither here nor there. We go to the offensive side of the ball. Zip it, Swaggoo. Take it. Just take it right now. So here we go, right? We get to the offensive side of the ball, and we get to a lot of things. So what we got here? We got guys missing games because of COVID. We got guys missing the game because of PED use. We had guys missing. One guy got suspended.
We have to do this.
No. Listen, because it's important. It's important because
I'm
bringing
it. We deserve it this time, Molly.
Listen, here's the deal. You had one guy that got caught trying to bribe the tester. You cannot make this up. This is all I'm trying to say. And what does all of this come down to? I tried to tell people this. I'm a noted Cowboy, even though it's not the Cowboys that I hate, it's their fans, because I can't stand the disgusting and nauseating, and they make me sick. But that's neither here nor there. Do you understand, Molly and Swaggoo, when I go to Dallas, I'm a star. If I'm a star in Dallas, could you imagine how the players are when they're winning? And this is the part that I'm getting to. Dallas is a marvelous city.
Absolutely.
It's a lot to do. It's beautiful in so many different ways. It is a special place. I love Dallas. Love Dallas to visit. Wouldn't mind living there. That's how beautiful of a city Dallas is. And what I'm saying to you is, it's a lot of distractions. When you winning and you feeling yourself, it's a lot to get caught up in. And so as a result of that, what I'm trying to say to y'all, they ain't disciplined. Not Dak. I'm not talking about him, even though he liked to party a little bit himself. But you know what? I'm just saying. But, the COVID thing. But that's all right. He's all right. He's a leader and deserving of his money and deserving of his status. Love Dak Prescott. But they got a relatively young team and certain key pieces that are in Big D, that are distracted, and you got an owner that won't squash it or subside it in any way. He feeds into the hype. And as a result, it puts more of a spotlight on them, which they are incapable of dealing with, which is why I keep saying they will fall. It is who they are. You can book it. It's who they
are. Marcus, before...
That's all I'm trying to say to y'all.
Before I move on, is there any credence to Stephen A.'s
argument? Yes, he knows it is.
I can't help but say yes.
Yes.
Okay. I can't help but say yes.
Okay, we will leave it there. We're revisiting this later.
Yes.
Two gentlemen that have no issues with distraction, that ignore the noise.
Stop laughing,
man.
Not me, if you've heard this before.
Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have a shot to go to the Super Bowl 9 times. They've went to the big game together, but now they have a chance to face each other with the Lombardi on the line for the very first time. I hope that's the case. ESPN chronicling their success together in Man in the Arena, and Belichick was asked about his thoughts on the series, and that turned into thoughts on Tom.
Bill, I know you're busy working, but have you had a chance to catch any of the man in the arena yet?
I haven't. I'm sure Tom did a great job with it, like he always does. You know, he was such a centerpiece in obviously all those games, and can't wait to see it.
Very complimentary of you throughout.
Nobody deserves more credit for our success here than Tom does. And he's a great player, great person, great leader, a tremendous opportunity for me to coach. You know, probably the greatest player in NFL history. And on defense with Taylor, the greatest offensive player with Tom and the greatest defensive player with Taylor. I certainly learned a lot from Tom, and he helped me develop as a coach, and as did Taylor. Very thankful for my opportunity to, over 30 years, coaching those two guys.
Yeah, and of course, he was talking about LT there with the Giants. I love these guys loving on each other. With the Patriots reeling off 7 straight wins after a 2-4 start, and this defense looking like the cream of the crop. New England and Tampa, the most likely Super Bowl matchup, according to ESPN's Power Index. Can we talk about that? The most likely matchup. That is incredible. Marcus, I will start with you. Would another Super Bowl mean more for Brady's legacy or Belichick's?
It'll mean more for Tom Brady. And I'm basing that on them meeting in the Super Bowl, Molly. I'm basing that on Tampa Bay and the New England Patriots meeting, because very rarely, I said this a couple yesterday on Get Up, very rarely do we get a chance to actually answer the question when we talk about the GOATs, right? We've had this argument with LeBron and Jordan for a long time. We have it in other sports. But very rarely do we get a chance to see this square off. And I understand. Look, I always think players are more responsible because they have to actually go out there and execute. Coaching in the NFL, to me, is the most important coaching job in all of professional sports. I think they have more of an impact on how their teams perform and how they go about each and every Sunday. And we know that. We got that information in what Bill Belichick has done over his career. But the bottom line is, if these two meet in the Super Bowl, based on all of this talk that we've been having since we've heard murmurs of things that transpired in New England, all of the things about Brady being too old, Bill Belichick wanting to move on, I think if Tom Brady gets an opportunity to play against the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl, and as much as I want the Dallas Cowboys to be there, this option right here would be more intriguing from that part alone. I think it will be Tom Brady with the most approved, because you got the greatest head coach of all time and the greatest quarterback of all time on opposite sides of the football, and they go head to head for all of the marbles, and there will be no discussion based on what transpires in that game. So I think Brady has the most to prove.
I respectfully disagree. I would go the route of Bill Belichick, but I utter the word respectfully because I'm sincere in saying that. For two reasons, Marcus. Number one, this is not last year. If this were last year, it would be different, meaning the first year that Brady departed from New England and there was no Super Bowl championship on his resume that didn't come from the Patriots and playing for Bill Belichick. So that's number one. That's number one reason. Number two reason is that Bill Belichick is here with a rookie quarterback. And so those two elements, to me, makes this more meaningful for Belichick. Brady has 7 rings. Bill Belichick has 6 as a head coach, 2 as a defensive coordinator. What happens to Bill Belichick last year? They don't even make the playoffs.
Yep.
8 of his dudes decide not to even show up for COVID, because of COVID. Tom Brady shows up, plays, balls out, beats Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in a blowout in the Super Bowl, and cements his legacy. Not that he needed that, but it definitely was cemented. So we're talking about what Tom Brady is, and to some degree, we forgot what Bill Belichick brought to the table, because we assumed that the struggles from last year would continue to some degree, because again, Bill Belichick didn't have Tom Brady as his quarterback, so your time was your time. What does he do? He reminds you he's not just a coach, but he's the GM, and he goes out there, spends the money, gets the requisite talent, okay? picked up Judon in the offseason, okay? You got Kyle Van Noy back from Miami because he had departed for a year before he came back. You still had McCourty. You picked up J.C. Jackson. You look at this defense right now. They are number one in the NFL, number three in yards allowed, number three against the pass. So you got an elite defense. Not only are you winning football games, but you're being led by an elite defense, and your signature, the signature to your greatness, is what you can do as a defensive-minded coach if you're Bill Belichick. Then when you combine that with the fact that you're doing it with a rookie quarterback, it lends itself towards blowing up and augmenting your system in the mind's eye as opposed to the talent. Because you're validating, okay, yes, Tom Brady is great. Tom Brady is a seven-time Super Bowl champion. But there was nothing wrong with me wanting to move on from him years earlier because I had the long view. Even though Tom Brady still had years left in him, I'm talking about the next decade and a half to potentially two decades. I was looking down the line. You can actually make that argument, and it sounds very reasonable and very palpable because at the end of the day, you're showing your system and what you believe in and how you go about the business of coaching has a profound impact on how your team performs and how they ultimately win. And if you go out there and you pull this off without Tom Brady, I think that says a whole bunch. That completes the picture of Bill Belichick. And even though we've never looked at him and said he's not the greatest coach, we always knew that. This would cement that forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
All right. So there is no need to have a visceral reaction or argument because it's very important that people see both of what we're saying. Because I respectfully understand what you're saying. But here's my thing. And S.A., I thought about this long and hard because what you just said about Bill Belichick almost led me to saying it would mean more to Bill Belichick. But you know this, and I'm a relate this to basketball, right? Okay. All season long, we talked about we want to see the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets in the finals.
Yeah.
Right? We wanted to see Kyrie, KD, and James Harden versus LeBron, Russ, and AD, mm-hmm. right? Because of the relevancy of the championship. See, when you said eight rings for Bill and seven rings for Brady, that's not in context what I was thinking. What I was thinking was Tom Brady left the confines of New England where, quite frankly, if he was on this team, we would have them as Super Bowl favorites.
Yes.
We would have the New England Patriots as Super Bowl favorites. And when he left to go to Tampa, there was no relevancy from the New England Patriots. There was nothing to harp on about, is it Belichick or is it Brady? But now in this particular window, it brings us back to this conversation. Because as Molly Q just showed, there's a 10% chance, the most odds, for these two teams to meet in the Super Bowl. And when I think about that, and I think about Tom Brady having an opportunity to play Bill Belichick for it all. I understand they played each other and it was a 19-17 win. But let's not act like it wouldn't be cataclysmic for them to meet in the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying
and
that.
Tom Brady to beat Bill Belichick. When we consider this particular New England Patriots team to absolutely be built in the image of Bill Belichick's success.
Yep.
So what you got is system
right.
versus the player. And that's the argument we've been having for years.
We can do that, but at the end of the day, if Bill Belichick was to beat Tom Brady with a rookie quarterback
mm-hmm. yeah.
in the Super Bowl, that would be cataclysmic.
But to us,
it would be.
To us, it would be. But I'm talking about who it means more to. Now, you've lamented about Jordan's insatiable appetite to beat people.
Yes.
We relate
yes.
that to Tom Brady as well. Mm-hmm. There is no athlete in the NFL that would rather beat Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl than Tom Brady.
Yeah, but here's what you're missing. But here's what you're missing. And we'll end it with this. Yeah. Here's what you're missing. That's true. But if he were able to pull it off, even though Tom Brady is going up against a stout defense, we're also able to look at New England and say, damn, you got a rookie quarterback.
No doubt.
If a rookie quarterback is at the helm and Bill Belichick beats Tom Brady in a Super Bowl with a rookie quarterback, Not to say that anything could, quote unquote, do damage to Tom Brady because the legacy is cemented. Mm-hmm. But damn, when I think about impact and we use the word cataclysmic, the fact of the matter is you don't anticipate even the greatness of Bill Belichick can knock off a Tom Brady with a rookie at the quarterback spot with all the marbles on the line.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steph Curry with the shot. Steph is chasing history tonight against the Blazers. He heads into the game needing 16 three-pointers to surpass Ray Allen's all-time record. Curry's career high for threes in a game is 13. Steve Kerr had this to say: I think Steph in a lot of ways is like Michael Jordan because there's so many moments that stand out that they all kind of bleed together. Maybe that's the true sign of greatness. Okay, Marcus Spears, interesting question here. Who is the more accurate comparison to MJ? Is it Steph or LeBron?
It's LeBron. And it's LeBron because when we think of Michael Jordan, we think generation. We think something that we've never seen before. And I know you can attribute that to Steph Curry's shooting ability. But outside of that, when you look at LeBron James and what he's done over the course of his career, let me remind everybody. LeBron James entered the NBA at 18 years old and went to a city that he was from, went to a state that he was from, and was asked to be the face of the franchise day one walking into the building. That's something even Mike didn't have to do immediately in Chicago. And then when you talk about the ability not only to stay relevant, continue to get better, but also stay clean throughout the duration of his career. I'm talking about off the basketball court. You talk about a generational impact that LeBron has made. There is a generation of guys right now, of young men and young women, that will forever be associated and tied NBA-wise to LeBron James. Now, everybody can't be 6'8", 250, and everybody doesn't have the physical attributes that LeBron has. But when we start flinging that word greatness around, and you can absolutely shoot that over to Stephen Curry. I've heard Stephen A. sit here and say he's number two ever to play in the NBA behind Michael Jordan, because that's Stephen A's list. And he deserves to be on the Mount Rushmore of NBA players. Now, let me remind everybody the Mount Rushmore of NBA players. In order to put LeBron on there, you got to take somebody off. So who is it? Kareem? Is it Bill Russell? Is it Wilt Chamberlain? Is it Kobe? So the fact that we have LeBron James and Michael Jordan, and when we had this conversation, and a lot of people don't want to admit it, there is so much legitimacy to the argument of who's the greatest of all time that it creates hate and disdain within the argument. We will never get to that point with Steph Curry when we start talking about him in comparison to Michael Jordan. It will never be a visceral reaction when you hear somebody say Steph Curry is like Michael Jordan. But oh, let them say LeBron James is the GOAT. Or put those two in the conversation when you have men in the barbershop or women talking to each other or men and women talking about this particular situation. LeBron James and Michael Jordan comparison will always be the one that we talk about. outside of that, there is no more to talk about when it comes to more like Michael Jordan. And the only reason we have the reaction when it comes to LeBron is because he's done and reached feats that we've seen Michael Jordan do and never thought we would see anyone else be capable of reaching.
You're wrong. And the reason why you're wrong is because you're not answering the question appropriately. The question is more like Mike.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking about who's better. I have LeBron James number two all time in the history of the sport. That's with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That's with Bill Russell. That's with Kobe and Kevin Durant and the list go. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, the whole bit. I have LeBron James number two all time.
Mm-hmm.
That's how profoundly great he is. And I want to say this. We got to call it like we see it. So when I'm critical of something that I see, I'm critical of what I see in that moment. But let me be very, very clear. As a man that's on the national airwaves every day, we going to miss LeBron when he's gone. This man has been an absolute treasure to the world of sports, and particularly the NBA, the professionalism, the dedication, the commitment to his conditioning, et cetera, his consistent level of greatness. I'm not casting any aspersions on this brother. I admire and respect the living hell out of him, even when I got to be critical of him. I know who I'm talking about. He's that profoundly great. Mad love and respect for him, and we will miss him when he's gone. But part of the reason he ain't number one is because he was never like Mike. He was never a killer. And that's where I'm going with all of this. Not just there, but that's where my starting point is. LeBron James had to mature up to that point. For the first several years of his career, there were times where we looked at him and we said he's scared to take those shots because he don't want to go to the foul line, because he was scared to go to the free throw line. Wasn't scared to take a jump shot. Wasn't scared to go one-on-one with anybody. Wasn't scared of any particular opponent. He had his own head issues inside his head. Getting to that free throw line, he didn't want that kind of smoke. And that's the one ailment to his career earlier on. And then when he lost in the playoffs to the Dallas Mavericks, when you got Jason Terry guarding you, for crying out loud, and you ain't taking advantage, and you go not one, not two, but three consecutive fourth quarters basically doing nothing. When y'all lost that NBA Finals, you got to take that into consideration. When you had to go to Miami to join with D-Wade and Bosh and Pat Riley to learn how to win, all of those things are things that you throw into the equation. Here's where Steph Curry is more like, not better, but more like MJ. Steph Curry is the greatest shooter God ever created. We applaud dudes that shoot 40% from three-point range a season. Do you know that Steph Curry has done that every single season he has played? The only season he didn't do it was the season he only played 5 games due to injury. Okay? 5 games. That was it. Other than that, Steph Curry has shot better than 40% from three-point range every single year of his entire career. He is a career 41.8% three-point shooter. He's a career 24-point-per-game scorer. He's a two-time league MVP. He's a three-time champion. He went to 5 straight NBA Finals, and I know what LeBron did playing in the Eastern Conference, but Steph Curry has been that dude at 6'3", with unbelievable, incomparable range. And this is a guy, when you thought about going up against MJ Swaggoo, you were scared to death on how to defend him, okay? Steph Curry has you scared the second he goes past half court. The second he steps past half court, you're scared. And so what happens is that spreads a defense, mm-hmm. and it makes every defense vulnerable to all the ancillary parts around Steph Curry, because you're opening up shots for the Jordan Pools and the Toscano Andersons and the Gary Payton II, and the list goes on and on and on. As great as LeBron is and was and will forever be, that kind of impact, he's had a profound impact on the game, but not that. Not a point. Not when you had to be scared.
Stop,
of him,
man.
From the moment he stepped past half
on,
court.
Come on, don't do that. Don't do that, because I know what's happening with Stephen Curry right now. I see what's happening. I understand
right
that he's shooting at a high clip. No, I'm just talking about right now, because I think that's what
he's been
thinking
doing.
About. But it sounds to me that you dismissive of LeBron James
not
by saying
all.
That about Stephen Curry.
No.
When we talk about moments, Stephen A., why you think KD went to – why you think Steph wanted KD in Golden State?
Say what?
Why do you think Steph Curry wanted KD in Golden State?
Oh, to beat LeBron
James?
To beat LeBron and
the – because of the profound – go ahead.
Whoa. LeBron, and listen, we might have issues with the head case that Kyrie Irving is. We ain't got no issues with his game. It's Kyrie Irving. Kyrie played with LeBron. LeBron didn't have no one. LeBron had Kyrie and Kevin Love. But let's not forget that now.
But S.A., what I'm saying is, if Stephen Curry is the guy that you just finished describing,
right,
okay, and you've sat on this show a number of times, yeah, and talked about how Jordan took the hard way, and it took a long time for MJ to get past the Pistons, and he went through the beating and the bruises of doing all of that. My point is this. When you make those points about Stephen Curry and more like Michael Jordan, you dismiss the fact that LeBron James is the only guy that's ever been in the conversation for being the GOAT.
I'm not dismissing that. I acknowledge prior to bringing up Steph Curry what LeBron James brings to the table, and he's number two all time. I'm just saying to you, when you talk about comparisons to a Michael Jordan and the effect that you have on the game offensively, the range that Steph Curry brings to the table
100%.
And how it compromises an opposing defense is a very, very, very profound thing. LeBron James has been a streaky shooter, but he's never been a great shooter. He certainly has never been a great free throw shooter. Steph Curry makes 90% of his free throws for his career. I'm just saying, you got to take those things into consideration when you talk about the impact that a guard or somebody with the ball in their hands has on opposing defenses. And that is comparable to MJ.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, so let me ask you this question, all right? Because I like to go through this history. We all know Steph Curry is the greatest shooter in the NBA. The numbers talk, tell it to us, and what we watch tell it to us. But ain't LeBron a 28-point career average in the NBA?
Yeah.
Ain't LeBron a multiple-time MVP?
Yes.
And a multiple-time champion NBA Finals?
We ain't say better, Marcus.
So
we ain't say better. We just talking about impact on an opposing defense in comparison to Michael Jordan. It's a little bit different. That doesn't make
Steph
him worse.
Steph did beat him 3 or 4 times in the NBA Finals.
It doesn't make him worse, okay, Marcus.
That
I'm not saying he's worse.
That potential history-making matchup is tonight on ESPN. We can't wait for that. It's Portland Warriors. And I hear you got a hot take on Dame coming up a little later in the show.
I always have hot takes, but I got to talk about Dame.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Stephen A., let's get it. Quick takes. James Harden and KD both waved off any worries about playing heavy minutes after both played over 40 in the win versus the Mavs. Stephen A., is this sustainable?
I think it's sustainable against weaker opponents, but against stiffer competition, they need Kyrie, period. And obviously, he has betrayed them. He's not there. And because of it, is championship a bust?
Oh, Kyrie's not playing this season? I didn't know. R.J. Barrett put up a career-high 7 threes in a blowout win against the Spurs last night. How important is it for the Knicks to get performances like this from Barrett?
He needs to be more consistent. You know, he's been struggling miserably up until last night. I wish I could rely on him to do that more consistently, but I can't. R.J. Barrett is a good player, but unless he becomes a bit more ambidextrous, him and Julius Randle, that's all they're going to be. Good enough to beat average teams, not good enough to beat anybody else, period.
You know what you sound like? An angry New Yorker.
Congrats
to our Tim Kirchin, the recipient of the Baseball Writers Association of America Career Excellence Award. He will be recognized at the Hall of Fame this summer. Stephen A., how about our guy, Tim?
Incredibly well-deserved. I love the man dearly. He's phenomenal with the sport of baseball. He's an historian. He's excellent at what he does. He's incredibly knowledgeable, and it's an absolute treasure to call him a colleague. It is well deserved, and I'm very happy.
No question. Huge congrats. So happy
he's getting about the game of baseball more than him.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.